This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 425. Get psyched about psychology for higher vocab scores. You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Find out why our strategies are the most powerful in the IELTS world and get your free video masterclass at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. Now, let's get to the show.
Today, you'll learn fascinating terms related to psychology and explore themes that could be seen anywhere on IELTS toughest tests.
Hey, Jessica, how's everything today?
Did you have to try hard not to say what's shaken?
I kind of did. Yeah, I have my habits. It's terrible.
Yeah, well, it's funny because like you and I were saying before. So guys, I mean, you've listened to a lot of episodes by now, hopefully. And you'll see, like, Lindsay and I both have our language quirky habits, right? Like, yeah. We just tend to say the same things, you know? Like, Lindsay would say, what's shaken? And I'm like, what's going on? And then at the end, like Lindsay says, take care. And it just occurred to me today, listeners, that I seriously never say that. That is just not something I say naturally to anybody.
Yeah, no, so we all have our language quirks, right? So that's why sometimes it's hard for us when you guys ask us, do native speakers say certain things? Because we often will answer, well, some native speakers do and others don't, right?
Right.
So it's pretty subjective depending on the person.
Oh, totally. And with the amount of exposure you and I have to all different varieties of English, I think that has had a big impact on how I express myself and communicate just because of the input, right? Because we're always talking about, guys, like, you need to expose yourself to English. You just need to dive into these, excuse me, these native speaker medias, I guess would be better. Yeah. But like having lived abroad or having friends from other countries, having students from all over the world, I find that I have some odd stuff I say sometimes that another native speaker will be like, do we say that? Really? Like,
right. It's so interesting. I mean, that's why, again, as we say, language is a creative process, right? We can put a little creativity into it if we want to.
Totally. It's spontaneous. It's creative. It's exciting. And that's why it's causes a bit of anxiety as well. So that's why Lindsay and I are here to help you guys. So another thing that causes anxiety is being faced with topics on IELTS that not only are they probably unfamiliar, but they are associated with very specific vocabulary that you guys aren't gonna know, most likely. So like science is, it was so broad, right? But people are always worried, candidates are always worried about getting a reading passage about science, maybe listening section 4, maybe a task 2 question or a speaking part 3 question. This topic could pop up obviously anywhere, but we're gonna take the very, we're gonna narrow this down into still a broad field of psychology, which is fascinating.
Yeah, and this is especially important to do an episode on because I feel like in certain cultures around the world, it might be a less talked about topic.
For sure. You
know? Yeah,
definitely.
I think that things like therapy or even like different conditions of the mind are, I think, more taboo or just not talked about nearly as much. And so that could be kind of a liability, guys. If you do get a question about psychology, you want to have these terms ready.
That's true. That's so true. For example, like one of the terms we're going to talk about today is ADD or ADHD. And for Lindsay and I, this term is very common. I mean, like frustratingly common, I could say. Maybe we'll talk about that. But but this is a thing that is so prevalent here. And I highly doubt that it's a thing that is common in other places. So no, that's a really good point.
Oh, yeah.
we're much more open about these sort of vulnerabilities, which on the one hand is healthy, right? Because we can help people address issues with learning disabilities or behavioral issues, because we recognize it, right, and can deal with it. But on the other hand, sometimes they can be excuses as well, and just sort of like dwelling on these things. Okay, that's another basket. Okay, so let's see. One way this might pop up is actually in like animal behavior. I've seen this in IELTS readings, guys, and like section four type lecture situations. So animal behavior, would be some vocabulary associated with that? Let's see. So we could say like following human commands would be something they would maybe research.
Yeah. I mean, something that comes to my mind is like conditioning and training, kind of stimulus and response type stuff, right? So conditioning your dog, for example, or, you know, they've done studies on rats to see how they respond to certain things.
Exactly.
So this idea of conditioning. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I only took, I think, like one psychology class in high school, but that's one of the first things that every student in psychology learns is the Pavlov experiment, right? So yeah, that's just about conditioning. Wasn't it a dog?
Yes, Pavlov's dogs. Yeah, it's okay, pretty famous. There you go.
And then just as I'm thinking of scientist names that you guys should know, because they are so widely utilized and could easily pop up on the exam, you should be familiar with first Pavlov. And then what is that, Lindsay? You're going to know this. Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So that's also sort of a basic tenet of psychology that, guys, I would not be surprised at all if this comes up in a reading. So if you're already familiar, maybe you're familiar in your first language, but in English you're not. So these are definitely concepts that you should review in English. Just Wikipedia these things.
Yeah, I mean, that's why most universities in the U.S., at least in liberal arts, do require like Psych 101. I feel like many of them do, because this is in our cultural conversation, this term, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's a basic kind of thing that we kind of need to know in society, right?
Yeah, true.
So that might not be the case for our listeners here. Who knows? Maybe it is. Maybe it's not.
Yeah, who knows? I'm guessing no in a lot of places. But you know, guys, to be honest, like for real, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that has popped up in conversations I've had like a lot. Just in the past week, like these ideas we discuss a lot, like self-improvement, and we way overanalyze ourselves over here, guys. And that's like something that comes up. Okay. So that's the one branch, let's say, on the IELTS tree of psychology. And then another one would be, learning styles. This totally comes up.
Yeah. And again, these are all kind of linked to different researchers who have come out with theories, but this idea that we want to think about how people learn best, right? This is used a lot when you talk about education for kids and adults.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Totally. And this vocabulary, guys, fantastic. You guys could use this in your speaking and writing for sure. We know education comes up. We already said psychology comes up. So, let's just talk through a few terms here. So learning styles, my favorite, because it's the fanciest word, is kinesthetic. Guys, as we're going through a lot of really advanced terms today, come back to the blog at IELTS.allearsenglish.com. Search for episode 425. Okay. These terms will be there. So kinesthetic means you learn by experiencing, you learn by doing, like body movement.
Yep, exactly. So that's how your body encodes memories, is through actually doing the thing and physically moving with the thing that you're learning. I love that.
It's something that, just a connected idea you guys could speak or write about. This isn't a learning style that is included in a lot of curriculum. So some people who don't do well in school, perhaps it's because they're of a sort of non-traditional learning style. So that's, that's an idea you guys could definitely explore on the exam.
Exactly. I think a lot of our, schools, our universities are geared towards I suppose, verbal learners or auditory learners, right? Like either learning by talking about it or hearing it. And that's hard for some people. I mean, some people need to be learn things visually, right? So we've just dropped three words, like visual learner, verbal learner, and auditory learner.
Hello, awesome IELTS candidates. If you are ready to get into the course guaranteed to raise your scores, just like we did for Andresa, who got a 7.5 in listening, 8 in reading, 7.5 in writing, and an 8.5 in speaking using our strategies. Check out our course now. Go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS. Yeah, exactly. So visual, of course, you learn through seeing it pictorially or through images sometimes. It can be like through looking at notes. I consider that a visual learner as well. And also auditory, right? Some people, you just need to listen to the lectures, not read them, but listen to them. That's how you remember information or code it, right? And then verbal, I'm sort of a verbal learner. I think you and I are sort of verbal learners. Like, listeners, you hear us when we spontaneously ask each other IELTS questions, like on the last episode, right? We kind of have to talk through things sometimes, and that's how we discover.
They say that teaching something is the best way to learn it, right? And that's especially true for people who are verbal learners. They need to hear themselves explaining it, and then they learn it better.
For sure. So just two more learning styles here, guys. And guys, I know this is a specific, really specific sort of topic, but this could be applied in so many places. Okay, so two more here. The first is spatial learner. So this is interesting to me. That's not something that comes up a lot, but spatial ability comes up a lot, though, right? Being able to conceive of distances and locations well, right? Like my spatial reasoning and my spatial ability is not good. I'm going to jump away for just a second.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, you're back.
Sorry. Right. Okay.
Oh, that's okay. So I think that a spatial learner is likely to be like someone who's maybe an architect, for example. They understand spaces, or even a good tennis player would probably be a good spatial learner. They think spatially because they understand angles and how to work the court, you know?
That's true. That's true. And I guess a lot of athletes would need this ability, right? Yes. The spatial perception. And so the next one would be tactile. I love this word as well.
Yeah, that's a good one. So to touch, right? Some people need to learn by actually interacting physically with the thing that they're learning, to touch it, right? To have it, to kind of hold it. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So I think we would say hands-on a lot, right? Yeah, but that's commonplace. Tactile is a much more high-level word. And just on this note, like just as learning styles, also consider like learning disabilities. So one that we thought of was dyslexia, which again, like this isn't allowed for or given space in a lot of classrooms and curriculum. So what is dyslexia?
Well, it's a condition, a learning kind of learning disability where people get confused with like orders of letters and orders of words when they read, I believe. And it also tends to be like a lot of entrepreneurs tend to be dyslexic. It's really interesting. If you study like some of the top entrepreneurs in the world, there are some of them, not all of them, but there's a trend. You see a lot of people who are dyslexic because they've had to find like different ways to compensate for that. Yeah, very interesting.
Interesting. Oh my gosh, I love that idea. Like I want to research this. This is I love connections like that. Okay. Yeah. Just one more branch here, guys, as far as behavioral psychology, or more specifically, behavioral disorders, right? So what are some examples that we might see?
So behavioral disorder, so obsessive compulsive disorder, and we call this OCD, right? And this is in our conversation, right?
Totally.
A lot of these disorders we will kind of self-diagnose in a joking way. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm so OCD. I had to check for my keys 3 times, right? Of course we're not, but we kind of use that in the cultural conversation, right?
Completely. This has become slang at this point. For sure. Yeah. Like, you know, if you're like leaving the house with a friend and you're like, oh, sorry, like I'm totally OCD right now. I need to just go make sure I turned off the oven and all the lights or whatever. Like, it is slang at this point. So obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD. But also eating disorders. And I don't want to get too much into this because I don't feel like this would come up on the exam so much. But just the idea of having eating disorders as a consequence of different gender expectations. I feel like that is an avenue that you could go down in speaking or writing. So, right? Because like women having to fulfill a certain beauty image, you know, of like skinny or like Barbie, whatever. So that leads to eating disorders. So just, I think the two eating disorders, that's the vocabulary would be anorexia and bulimia. And again, like very depressing. I'm not going to get into it, but I will put the vocabulary in the blog post.
But these are helpful. I mean, this may not be in your conversation, guys, in your culture, but I mean, yeah, not so much this one, but some of the other ones you're hearing today, you could really use them in a lot of places. So very cool.
For sure. And then the last two, but I feel like it's kind of the same thing. We used to say ADD, attention deficit disorder, and now it's ADHD. Which is what is the H?
It's hyperactivity, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting.
I really encourage you guys to do some research on this. This has become a cultural phenomenon, I feel like, for Americans. So form your own opinions, but it does exist to some extent for sure. It's not totally made up. It is, you know, a psychological disorder. So this has to do also with learning challenges and learning disabilities. ADD is part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is another one of the ones that we tend to like joke around with our friends and self-diagnose, right? So your friend could say to you, oh my gosh, I think you have ADHD. You're constantly checking your phone. You can't vote, you know, and kind of poking fun at the person. But actually people do get diagnosed with this professionally by going in and taking tests and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's a for real thing for sure, just like obsessive compulsive disorder. But as you said, like it's such a part of our culture that it's not, I wouldn't say it's cliche yet, but it is a definite idiom. Like it is something we say all the time. Like, you know, even if I'm just tired, you know, and I'm having difficulty focusing and I'm in a conversation and I totally missed what the person said. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm totally ADD today. Like, what did you say? Or so really useful, not only on IELTS, but in real life, guys.
So good. So guys, again, don't just fast forward through this episode. You know, this is one of the episodes that you can apply broadly, right? You can take these words and apply them broadly to really make that difference with your vocabulary score on writing and speaking. You know?
Oh, definitely. For sure. When we talk about a culture of thinking, right? When we talk about creating these type of episodes are inspiration for that. We've given you so many different topics. It's not just vocabulary words. These are whole topics that you guys can learn about. And guys, as I said, like all of these things could come up on the test. Like this is useful for sure.
Absolutely. So guys, rewind this, go back, take notes. And again, if you're interested in a step-by-step system where you're going to learn our strategies that you can't get anywhere else, then jump into our course. Because, you know, if you're just jumping around and grabbing podcasts, that's a good start. But that's only the starting point, right? Yeah, absolutely.
The podcasts are great. You know, there's lots of good resources, guys, but jumping, you need a system. You need a plan, a schedule. You know, we have everything you need with that 30-day plan and that 60-day plan. So,
yeah. And the other thing. the other thing to keep in mind is just that, you know, with the course, you have a guarantee, right? We have the score increase guarantee, which we stand by, and we can't offer you any kind of guarantee with these free podcasts, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Totally.
Very cool. So come on over, check that out, guys, at allearsenglish.com/KEYS. And we are out of here. Jessica, let's remind our listeners to check out Facebook Live.
Oh, yes, guys. As you are hearing this, this is being broadcast on a Wednesday. That means tomorrow is Thursday, Facebook Live with me every Thursday at noon Pacific Standard Time, Portland, Oregon time.
Yes, it's at facebook.com/allearsenglish. That's where you guys want to go. Okay, awesome.
Awesome.
Okay, see you there.
All okay. Right, have a good weekend, Lindsay.
Bye-bye, take care.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.